All right, welcome everyone to the Spiritual Freedom Support Call. How is everyone's weeks?
Good.
Good.
So far, so good.
I'm sorry?
You threw everything off.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. What did you say, Brenda?
I said, so far, so good.
Good. That's nice.
You're safe. That's good.
Yeah, how did it affect you guys? I know, Justin, you said it wasn't really going to affect you. But Brenda,
no,
why don't you like
that? It switched our game up, and we'd already paid for the tickets, and they were $100 a pop. So.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
What game was that, Justin?
UFC. That we'd already paid for the tickets, and it was like they actually changed it to Sunday instead of Saturday, which was passing strange.
What city do you live in?
South Carolina.
City.
Columbia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you lived in North Carolina.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Brenda, how was it there in Miami, right?
Yeah, it actually kind of bypassed me a little bit. I had some wind. Just not a whole lot of wind and, of course, rain off and on. The power flickered a couple of times because the wind gust got up high enough to kind of move the lines or whatever. So,
right.
But that was it. But further north, they got hit really bad. My cousins had to evacuate to their mom's house further west, inland. And from what I heard, when they got hit pretty bad too, but they didn't have any damage to the house. There was trees down. They said it snapped at the base of the tree. It didn't deroot.
Wow.
You know, and
the
street lights were out. So.
Right. Wow. Go ahead.
My best friend lives on a barrier island. Right next to Cape Canaveral, where she works, and they thought that she had to evacuate, 100 miles inland. They thought that her whole island that she lives on, across a bridge, from the mainland.
Right.
That's where the hurricane touched down first. It hugged the shore, and Cape Canaveral got a lot of big winds, and they thought that, because she's on a low-lying barrier island, that it would be totally flooded and she was going to lose her house. And I don't know, it didn't get close enough. It wasn't high tide. It wasn't ready yet. And her house was completely intact.
Wow.
So were the others. It was awesome. It was a miracle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Wow, that's awesome. Like I said last week, I could never live in a place like that. I would be terrified pretty much all the time.
I tell you, Brandon, I needed you down here, and we needed you in Myrtle Beach and the storm with us, man.
No, that's quite okay.
Hey, I was in the L.A. 1994 earthquake. Couldn't get worse than that in San Fernando Valley.
Really? Myrtle Beach and Charleston got hammered. Myrtle Beach 6. And Charleston 7. Absolutely got hammered.
Yeah.
Wow.
60 miles.
Myrtle Beach pretty much straight on and made landfall 25 miles east of Charleston and just absolutely hammered the coast of South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach?
Yep. I heard there's no sand on Myrtle Beach.
There may not be any. Honestly, Myrtle Beach is no longer fit for vacation.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
a big destination, too.
Yeah.
It was underwater. I mean,
60 miles of... Yeah. 60 miles of I-95 is flooded out.
Wow,
my other friend lives across Florida on the coast, on the Gulf Coast. So I've got one on the Atlantic coast and one on the Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both always, having to kind of keep prepared,
Right.
God.
That's nuts. All right, so I have a question someone emailed me, so I feel like I should probably cover that first. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the question real quick, and then we'll discuss it. Okay. The person who asked was Debbie. And she asked, she said, I can't attend, so here's my question. What if something hasn't manifested yet? Does divine timing account for this? I've read many times to trust that divine timing is at play. Do you believe that? That's interesting. I think that it depends on the situation. I've certainly had things that happened in my life that were very, very dependent on timing, and, you know, the perfect timing happened. And so I definitely think that's a component. But I also think that, you know, the universe is always responding to your energy. So if if your manifestation hasn't happened yet and you've been waiting for a very long time, I mean, it may be timing, but it's most likely just that you're holding up with your resistance. But
because actually it doesn't just say how long she was waiting, does it?
No, it doesn't say how long she was waiting.
Okay.
So if it was a long time, that's probably a resistance. Divine timing, I mean, you know, it's always going to be perfect, no matter what. But that is going to be more of a component once you're able to let go. And you know it doesn't have to be tomorrow in order to happen. You know it's okay if it happens today or tomorrow or next week or next month. But you're okay with waiting. And then that's when timing really starts to work out and fit together perfectly. But and that starts to happen too. I've mentioned examples before of really crazy timing in my own life. So that happens too, like once you start trusting in the universe more, that things just start to work out without even having to intend it. Things just start to work out perfectly. You know, I talked about, remember, Christine, the thing with the pharmacy delivering before we left for our little trip?
Yes.
And they came like 2 minutes before we left.
Yes.
That was a perfect example.
Yeah.
I would want to know, are you seeing any signs of your manifestation? Because if you aren't, that doesn't mean that divine timing's not, you know, working, but it does mean that you would want to investigate whether you're got resistance, whether you're blocking it, or whether something else is hanging it up. You'd want to know. If you're seeing signs of it, then maybe it's doing what it's supposed
to. Such
a
timing.
There is definitely divine timing, but it has to be when you're ready, too. So if you aren't ready, it's not going to happen. If you're already, it'll happen when it's supposed to.
Yeah. It's not going to, like, make you wait 10 years or something. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The timing is, you know, yes, it might take a little bit of time, but it's not going to take an extremely long amount of time.
If it does take 10 years, there's something wrong.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Well, if it takes, so somebody goes, I want to be a doctor. Well, you know that's 12 years.
But
I mean,
you're making progress towards it all the time.
But you're making progress towards it. So if it's going to say, you know, you give something, it's going to be 2 or 3 years, you're going to know because you'll be making progress. If you haven't seen any progress or any positive thoughts, no, that would be something else.
Right.
I don't think, you know.
Right. And that's like what you said about signs. Signs are the level of manifestation immediately before the actual physical manifestation. So, like you said, Justin, you should be seeing plenty of signs that your manifestation is coming, and then, you know, it will come in the perfect timing. But if you're feeling, I wrote my blog post, actually, it was just published today about, I don't know who read it yet, but about the message that the universe communicates through your resistance. And, you know, so if you're you have to interpret it. If you're feeling impatient and you're feeling, you know, why hasn't happened yet, then the stuff that's happening is going to be a manifestation of that impatience or that frustration or that doubt, not of the thing itself. So hopefully that answered it completely. Are there any questions about that specific topic?
Can you just say that again?
Which part?
The whole thing.
Well, that was about 5 minutes.
Oh, no. No, I didn't mean just the last
recording
part of it. That's okay. Just forget it.
No. Christine, do you see the rewind button on my head?
Sure.
I don't know what happened, but I just spaced out for a minute.
It's all right. It's all right. So start over at 8 o'clock or 8:30. No, basically I said that if you're not seeing signs, or, you know, you have to interpret the message from the universe, how it's communicating to you. So if you're feeling doubtful, frustrated, impatient, the stuff happening is going to be a manifestation of those experiences, of those emotions, not of what you actually want. You're going to be manifesting those things. So you have to look at what's going on. And if you're asking that question, it's probably resistance. Because if you even feel the need to ask that question, it means you have insecurity about it. You know, let's be honest. So, okay. That's not you, Fran, obviously, the person who
asked. No, I know.
Yeah, but if you feel the need to ask that question, then you're probably, you know, having a good bit of resistance and just trying to find a way around that, which is okay, but, you know, they're totally separate things, and you'll be able to tell the difference. Any other questions about that topic? Okay. So now we can move on to whatever you guys have, whatever you guys want to discuss. Any thoughts for today?
Yeah, you got my message about the class, though. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, what happened when you tried to play it?
It just said, now playing, but it didn't make any more noise. I played it, it was fine, I paused it. And then so the first time I tried to play it from your link, it didn't seem to work. And then I went to the, if I could maybe log in, but it wouldn't let me. So then I went to the Brandon Life Coach page I got as a favorite, and I was already logged in.
Right.
And then somehow I got it to play, and then when I paused it to go get something to eat, come back to play it, it wouldn't play. No idea.
Did you actually download it? Did you download it to your computer?
It didn't appear in downloads. I don't know if I downloaded it or not, to be honest.
Because it should download automatically when you click on it.
Yeah, I think it did download, but it just didn't play.
What application do you use to play it?
What is that? Something music? I've never even seen it before, whatever, the way you played that one. I think I usually use Windows Media Player. That's kind of the thing. But I don't know, actually, now that I think about it, I don't know what. Windows Media Player is my intent, but yours always seems to come up funny, like it's playing another way somehow.
Weird. I don't know. Try again. See if you can download it. And if not, I'll find an alternate way of sending it to you.
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out. Yeah, thought. I don't know.
It might not go through WMA with him.
Well, it's an MP3 file. So it should be a regular standard.
Yeah, it is
standard.
An MP3. I have no idea. I've never seen that before.
Huh. Try again. Let me know. We'll debug it somehow. We'll figure out a way to get it to you.
Okay.
All right, so we'll figure that out.
You could do one of your phone sessions. Or you,
yeah.
Could you put it in Dropbox?
Yeah, I can.
Mine is full. I need to pay for that Dropbox. Yeah, I got to pay and upgrade it.
I actually downgraded mine because now I have iCloud Drive, and it's cheaper. So
I got to get involved. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so just try it again, and we'll figure it out from there. If
I've got
work.
Google Drive, so.
Yeah. All right, so I actually wanted to, are there any other specific thoughts or questions?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I've been noticing a trend. and I sort of want to address it. I want to actually see what all of your thoughts are too, but I'm noticing a trend of, you know, comments on my blog about, that's a little concerning to me, that see the universe is sort of a very manipulative thing, okay?
This was today's blog.
Yeah, this is today's blog. And I'm not calling out specific people. It's not a problem. It's just I want to correct misunderstanding.
Well, it's okay to call them out because it's public.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, so I got these comments, and I've been getting them lately, and it's all about how the universe is manipulative, and, you know, that it's, you know, the universe requires us to suffer, and, you know, unless we surrender, and, you know, that we can't be individuals. Okay, that's the basic gist of what I got from the comments. Would you say so, Christine, because I read them to you?
Yeah, I would say so. If you want to read it,
it's a derivative, say that again?
I'm sorry?
The universe, say that one more time.
Manipulative.
Manipulative,
okay. Yeah. And is...
Why don't you read a couple of the comments?
No, I'm not going to read them.
Yeah, read one.
If you have, that seems like that's the gist of it. I don't know if you need to read them.
Yeah, I don't want to read it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But
yeah,
because
I'm not trying to embarrass any specific person. That's why I'm not naming names.
Yeah,
either.
I don't want to do that.
But
basically, the universe is manipulative, cruel,
and controlling.
And unless you surrender, then the universe is pretty much an SOB, if you know what I mean.
Right. And I don't know where these ideas are coming from, honestly. I've talked a lot about surrender, I know. And, you know, I've talked a lot about law of attraction, obviously. It's pretty much all I talk about. But, you know, it's a little concerning to me, so I kind of wanted to address that and see if there's anyone else who has the same kind of idea. I doubt it here, but I just wanted to bring it up anyway. Yeah, Justin?
I mean, if the universe is just doing its thing. It's like a river. It's like alive, but it's a river.
Exactly, yeah.
It knows what you're, you know, I mean, if it's manipulating you, it's because you're making enough waves to be manipulated.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, or you're dealing with, I don't say it too much, but you're dealing with powers or entities that do that in the universe. That's kind of your, you know, it's what you've decided to do or you're fighting with it or something.
It's your own whiplash.
Not really manipulative.
The universe only gives you back what you give.
What you're sending out, right. It reminds me of...
I mean, it doesn't have its own identity, like, you know.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Okay, thanks to what Christine said. One time, when I was 11, I think, I went to this blind camp in New Jersey, and I stayed there for a week, and I got the chance to go on a speedboat. Wow. And the guy actually let me drive the speedboat for a few minutes, and he told me where to direct it. But anyway, he had me turn the boat too far at one point, and we hit into our own wake, and that is not...
Wow.
Yeah, that was it like dropped out from under. Oh, it was.
Oh, I love that feeling.
I know you do. I don't like it. It's scary.
I would have loved that feeling.
I love speedboats.
Oh, I love speedboats. It was fun, but I was scared to death when we hit our own wake.
Yes, because it feels like you're dropping to your death or something.
Right. I don't like roller coasters either. So.
But I'm a thrill seeker.
You are. But anyway, it reminds me of that because. That was something, no, he had me turn too far by accident, but it was something that was due to the laws of physics that I ran into the wake of the boat that I was in because of turning too far. I could hear myself in someone's speaker. Okay, not anymore. And so it was kind of tossed around a little bit, you know, but that was all due to the law of physics. It wasn't some personal being out there saying that they wanted me to suffer or something because of turning too far. Like, does someone not have headphones? Because I keep hearing myself. Anyone? I can hear myself and it's distracting.
I know, and I'm trying to fix it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Tell me when it's okay.
Well, it's just intermittent, so I won't be able to say. Right now, it's not happening.
What, right now?
Right now, it's not happening. Anyway.
Now?
It's fine right now. So, there's not, like, a personal being that's enforcing the laws of physics that's laughing at me for running into my own wake. It's just an impersonal force. It's just what it is. You know, if you jump off of a 10-story building, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're going to feel it.
You'll be a bloody pulp.
No, well, you'll feel it for a nanosecond. But there's no... Right. There's no one out there that's, ha, 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 look what he did. Like, that's not how it happens. If you touch a hot stove, you're going to feel it. It's not a cruel thing. It's just, hey, don't do that. You know, if you don't stay within the laws of the universe, you get the consequences.
Yeah,
right?
You get the consequences.
Right. So, and this is why I don't, Christine and I differ on this one, but this is where I don't believe in a personal God, because it's this force to me, the law of attraction, it's just like gravity or aerodynamics or, you know, like thermodynamics where you touch something hot and you get burned. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how it is. So it's not a personal thing. Now, the way I know some people look at the universe and they see cruelty somehow and they see manipulation, I see it as very, as perfect, actually, very ingenious, because I wrote this in the blog post today, the resistance that you run into shows you how to get out of the resistance. It shows you why you're holding that resistance. You have to have the wherewithal to actually see it and use it, but it does show you, if you look at it properly, you know, where you are running into trouble. So it's actually quite a perfect setup, but you have to, you know, follow the principles as they are. If you don't, and it's not judgment, you know, no one judges you if you touch a hot stove and get burned. It's just the laws of physics. So if you focus on what you don't want and you get more of what you don't want, no one's judging you, no one's laughing at you, no one's, you know, happy for your suffering or anything. It's just an impersonal fact of the universe. That's all it is, you know? And so once you start following the principles, then things get a lot easier. But it's not at all control or manipulation or anything of that sort.
It's like the way the Hindus see it as personal and impersonal. It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it can appear to personal to some people.
How
some
you
people.
Want to interact.
Right, it's how you want to see it.
Right.
Isn't it kind of like a mirror?
It's a mirror, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
totally
but
mirror.
It's not, there's nothing that's going to manipulate you unless you line up part
with manipulation.
Part of lines up to be manipulated. So,
exactly.
Or if you are, you know, if you don't choose to work with the parts or the energy that is manipulative, then you won't get manipulated. I mean, that's just it.
Right, yeah. It's set up for your freedom. That's the goal. You know, it's set up for your freedom. And it's always going to act towards that end, you know, to bring about your freedom in the quickest way possible. So it is, in a sense, always going to push your buttons, because as long as you, I keep saying this, as long as you have buttons to push, it's going to push your buttons, because it's trying to free you of those. You know, when I say trying, I know that implies personal will, but it's not. It's just the setup of the system. But, you know, the goal of the system is freedom. You know, it contains within itself freedom, the key to freedom. So that's totally your choice. But, you know, we as humans tend to see suffering as sort of always a negative thing. And it's not, it's definitely not the intent. It's not the, you know, what we're supposed to go through. But it is, how can I say it? Suffering is kind of our wake-up call. Do you know what I mean? It shows us, you know, what we are doing, not wrong, but what we are doing that we could do better.
But then people get attached to wanting to suffer.
No, because it's never pleasant. Go ahead. Who's going to speak?
I didn't hear what Christine said.
She said, but then people could attach to wanting to suffer. But it's not. It's not.
Okay.
It's just that sometimes you need a wake-up call. If you're, again, you ever hear those people who have no pain receptors?
Yeah. I was just going to talk about that.
And they could be, you know, having their hand running under scalding hot water and not, because I think we all have had the time where we say, I wish I couldn't feel pain. But it was actually a horrible thing. Because if you couldn't feel pain, you couldn't realize when your body's in danger.
That actually lost my friend his leg. So you definitely.
Right. You could.
That lost
you could,
his leg.
The illness leprosy, that's basically what it was. It affected the nerves.
Yeah.
So that people couldn't feel, and then they'd injure themselves and get, gangrene and stuff because they didn't even realize it was that bad. So,
you know, what pain is, just in the physical sense, what pain is the body saying, hey, something's not right. Okay, and then you respond to that, and, you know, if you're touching a hot stove, you want to feel that. I mean, obviously you don't want to feel it, but it's necessary to feel it so that you can take your hand off and, oh, I shouldn't do that, right? So, and the more intense the pain, the more serious, and so the quicker you respond. So, in a spiritual sense, you know, pain or suffering is occasionally warranted when you are doing something that's harmful to you.
Right.
When you are doing something that is against your nature, when you are doing, you know, like, when you're focusing on something you don't want, and so creating more of that. So if you want, more abundance, and you focus on lack, you're going to suffer, period. If you didn't suffer from focusing on lack, you could never create your desires, because you wouldn't know when you were on track. So suffering in a spiritual sense plays the same role as suffering or pain in a physical sense. It tells you, it's a warning system that tells you when you're off track. Okay, so suffering is sometimes warranted. It doesn't mean it's, it's necessary or something. It's just, it's going to tell you when you're doing something you probably don't want to be doing.
I like that a lot better than the Catholic teaching.
Well, duh.
That's much, much nicer.
But, if you don't surrender, you're going to be kicked around a bit because...
Well, sure. You have to know when you're off track.
Right, because, the universe doesn't respond to the ego trying to control things. And it's not because, I'm trying to head off any imagined objections I can imagine this person giving, because, unfortunately, no one is here who has the same objections. But if...
I used to.
Yeah, if...
But I get it.
If you, what was I trying to say? The universe doesn't respond to the ego trying to exert control. And it's not because the universe is against ego or something like that. It's because ego is essentially a defense mechanism that believes in your separation. What?
I got
dropped. Careful, you're taking my headphones. Thank you, Justin's watch. Watch went off. That means our clock will be going off in a minute. But anyway,
that's okay.
The ego is basically a defense mechanism. It's the part of you that wants to cling to some identity, and it wants to control things, and it wants to make things just so. And so when you try to exert control from the ego, it's not going to work, okay? Because the ego is not the part of you that can control anything. The part of you that can control things is the higher self, is, the true self, like I've talked about in the class. So that's why surrender is necessary. It's not because the universe is laughing at you, wants you to submit to it, and it's going to manipulate you. It's just because you have to become who you really are before you can actually exert control. That's really all it is. So...
But like the ego Ego doesn't have the cohesive, what's the word I just thought of, the cohesive ingredient.
Right. Right.
To put together what your goal is.
Right. The ego trying to control would be like every part of your body doing its own thing.
Oh.
Matt, you know, your big toe tries to accomplish your goal all on its own. And it's an important part of what you do as a body, but it's not the whole thing. So only when the whole body, you know, is united on it can you actually do what you want to do. So the ego, when it tries to do its own thing, it's sort of going against the flow of the universe, and it's not going to work.
But since the ego is part of you, it's really you trying to do your own thing, but in maybe the incorrect, in an incorrect manner. And when you've got to get control. Oh, I mean, I'm not talking about kicking the ego out. The ego is part of you, and it can be a positive thing if you've got control over the ego. Then you can use it for positive results. Is that correct?
Again, the ego is basically that part of yourself that pretends to be a person. Okay.
But that's aren't you giving it like its own identity, like it's a separate entity? You know,
no.
It sounds like this monster inside you.
Parse out the words I just said. I said the ego is that part of you
I didn't get that part of you. All right.
That's okay. But it pretends to be a person.
It pretends. Okay.
And what that means, it believes itself to be a person. What that means is that you are not a person. Spiritually speaking, I don't know how much you're familiar with Eastern philosophy, but you are not a person. Mm-hmm. Right? Justin knows. You are not a person. You are the universe. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the ego thinks itself to be the separate little individual here on Earth and doing its own thing, having its own name, you know, being whatever it is, being in the dream, okay? It thinks itself to be its own person, and it's not. It's not true. So if you, and that's what enlightenment's all about, if you realize that it's not, that you are not, you know, your own little individual person, and you unite with who you really are, and then you still have that ego sense that says, you know, it's like when you lucid dream. I don't know if you ever lucid dreamed, but when you realize you're dreaming.
Lucid dream. Oh,
yeah.
Lucid dreaming. I've always wanted to do that.
But when you lucid dream, you still have the dream character. It's just you don't believe it anymore. And that's why I talk so much about not believing in reality, not believing in your emotions, not believing in your thoughts. Because it's like if you pretend you're in a dream, let's say you're in a dream, and if you believe the stuff around you, then you're stuck. You're not lucid anymore. Then you're subject to the dream mechanics. You know what I mean? But if you stop believing in it, then you get to dictate what happens because you don't believe in it. Now, if you start believing in it again, then you're not going to be lucid anymore. Okay? So, law of attraction is like lucid dreaming. It's not believing in what you see around you, not believing in outer reality. Like, you know, I've said inner reality is more real than outer reality. And that's why you don't want to believe in your thoughts, you don't want to believe in your emotions, because all they are your creations. Okay, so you put them there, it might not seem like it, but you did, and you can change them. So the important step is not believing in them, and then choosing what you would rather create. Does that
make
sense?
There are an awful lot of people out there in the world who don't know that.
Sure.
Why do you think the majority of the world doesn't know that? Is it part of the, you know, the continuum of the enlightenment learning experience and evolving?
Yeah, as you know, again, as humans, we tend to focus on the end. We tend to focus on the destination.
The result, yeah.
The result. The universe has no such need, no such desire. It's all about the journey. So you start at the bottom. You start at the bottom, and most people are, I don't want to say at the bottom, but somewhere in the middle. It's very few people who are at the top, so to speak, evolution, you know, in the evolution of their spirit, who are at the top and realizing the illusory nature of this world, and then not only realizing that, but then able to manipulate it. You know, it's more popular now. There are more old souls now than there ever were, but it is still rare. It's still exceedingly rare. I'd say less than 1% of human beings alive can really reliably do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've talked about the allegory of the cave before, right?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You haven't with us too much.
Justin or Brenda, are you familiar with it?
The allegory of the cave?
Yeah, by Plato.
I've heard of it. I couldn't quote you the story.
It's basically, in very brief, basically, everyone is in a cave and chained up and looking at the shadows playing on the wall. And that's all they know. They've done this their whole life. And so they believe that the shadows are reality. And one person is unchained and becomes free somehow and goes out and very gradually, because it's way too bright, very gradually goes out into the sunlight and sees the sun. And he's so, you know, awed by what reality actually is that he goes back and he tells his friends, you know, hey, look, this what you think is reality right now actually isn't. There's another world out there. So let me unchain you and take you out, and you can see what's actually. And they kind of laugh at him and say, "What are you talking about? You know, this is reality. This is all we've ever known." And they remain chained. So it's sort of an analogy of life.
Doesn't he? I don't remember if he.
I don't remember.
I thought there was more to it.
I don't know. There probably is, but that's essentially the gist of it, though. But it's an analogy of life that most people are blind to, no pun intended, to what is actually truth, to what is real, you know. But it's not, you know, we judge things as good or bad, but the universe sees things as in progress, you know. It never judges someone, because judging would require an idea of good or bad, and that's dualistic, and the universe is non-dual. But it doesn't require you to be at the end right now. It knows you will be there eventually, if there even is an end. But it doesn't require you to be there right now. It could take a lifetime. It could take 10 lifetimes. It could take 100 lifetimes. And it's all the same thing. Right? So it's not, while it's frustrating when you see other people who are clearly not responsive to that and you want to show them, but it's not, in the universal sense, a bad thing. It's just they are where they are in their journey, you know. So that's how it is. But yeah, we try to look for the destination. We try to get there as quickly as possible. But people are where they are.
Well, what about people who are not really spiritual beings, not really that interested in spirituality, but their lives go pretty smoothly? And they're happy, and you know, maybe even thriving. There are people like that are thriving, and are they just pretty much creating by default, or is it maybe from another lifetime that they're just a little bit more evolved and that they don't know it?
and you keep bringing in this. Creating by default, it's an Abraham term.
It is?
It is, yeah.
I
think I've explained this before. Creating by default is when you don't like the results you're getting in life, but you keep getting them anyway because you don't really change it. if you're getting results that you like, it's good. You don't need to change anything.
Yeah, right.
Right? It's
yeah.
You know.
That's what I mean.
So it could be a variety of things. It could be, number one, that yes, they are pretty close. You know, they are pretty advanced. Number two, sometimes I think a soul kind of takes an off life, if you will. You know what I mean? Where they always have karmic stuff they're working out, but certain aspects of their karma is pretty simple, and so they might focus on a life that focuses on the easy parts
mm-hmm.
and not on the hard parts. So they might do that for a lifetime if they want to. Or number three, I'm sorry, Justin?
No, go ahead.
Number three is that you don't really see what's going on with everyone. So, you know, someone's public persona might be very, very neat, very, you know,
right.
put together. And in private, they might have private issues. I guarantee they probably have some private issues.
They must.
Everyone does.
Well, I mean, it could be all of that.
Right.
Everybody is a spiritual being, so that they just don't acknowledge it in the way we do. But their energy the same way. They have no choice but to be. But mm-hmm. you know, but they just chose a different path this time. You know, they're going to have. They're not honestly. You know, they just chose a different. So if you develop the right way in life and they do, that you're more aware of the universe, it was because you needed to do that
right.
this lifetime.
Right, right.
And maybe they just didn't need it this lifetime.
Yeah, right. And they will eventually.
And it's not, you've mentioned about spirituality. Spirituality is not required as a, you know, a very clear, explicit thing.
I mean, they don't have to walk around saying, you know, reading spiritual
right.
books and talking
exactly
about,
right.
Yeah,
you know, an atheist could be spiritual as far as, you know, going with the flow of life. Very possible. There's nothing that requires you to believe in any specific thing. It's not based on belief. It's just about how you respond to the situations that come in life and
to
resistance that might come up.
The only thing I will say is that people, a lot of times, who don't have that understanding, they're hang-ups. Like, so they'll flow along just fine, but they really will have, a lot of them have some serious hang-ups, and the one
right.
disadvantage that I've seen is they do not see how to get out of them.
What happens?
That's
what
the
happens
only
sometimes.
Disadvantage I've really seen. I haven't seen, like, you know, there's obviously there's more disadvantages or whatever, but I mean, like, the ones that flow along through life, they just may not know certain things.
Right.
But I mean, if this lifetime wasn't something that they needed, then they're not going to do it. Now, will they be able to use energy skills? No. Will they be able to do some of the stuff that we could do? No. But they've chosen a different path this lifetime.
Right.
Will they be able to manipulate the universe in the way like Brandon and, you know, some of these other guys can do?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, because that's not what they chose this lifetime.
Right.
That's okay
right.
for them.
Right. But, you know, that's true. And when you use the law of attraction, you are much more deliberate about it, where you set a goal and you know that you can get there. And
right.
Other people who don't believe in that are going based on the subconscious programs they already have installed. If they have good and helpful subconscious programs installed, then they're going to be fine. You know, if money, if you're born to wealthy parents, you're going to be pretty set. Honestly, it's just how it is. You were born to wealthy parents. You're going to get abundant subconscious programs installed. You're going to be set. Now, if an unfamiliar situation hits or something hits that triggers some resistance, then you know, you're going to be in some trouble.
That's where they run into problems.
Right.
They're screwed if it does not roll along, if they're not rolling smoothly, when they hit a bump, that's what I mean. At that point,
exactly.
they are screwed.
Yeah.
They didn't learn that.
they're the people that, you know, are, you know, poor, and then they get themselves in amazing situations.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know,
uh-huh.
It's kind of like, yeah, I mean, pretty much, if where they run into problems is they can't change a program or they can't change their energy flow really very easily. Not well. They can sometimes manage it just sort of because.
Right.
Not well. That's where they run into
yep.
actual difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And
so I guess, what's the word? Not as flexible.
Yeah.
You know, kind of more rigid.
Yeah.
It's like going along just fine on your default programs, but if something
yeah.
hiccups, then you might run into some difficulty.
Yeah.
And the thing is with these subconscious programs is that they appear as fact to, you know, the person who holds them. You know, you try to, I challenge you, try to challenge someone's subconscious programs. And you can see them pretty easily if you have practice. But
mm-hmm.
seriously, I've done this. Try to challenge someone's subconscious programs and make them question them. It won't work. Unless they're a very self-aware individual, it won't work. They
or
will give you...
you put them in a situation where what they're doing simply will not work.
Right, exactly. That's hard to do. But, it, you know, they will give you 20 excuses or 20 justifications of why what they believe is true.
Yeah.
They will. You know, I've seen it repeatedly. And
so you've backed me in a corner before.
Yeah, but you're more willing to look at things.
That's true.
You have to, in order to do that, you can either they're just going to be self-aware, or you can put them in situations where it doesn't work. And or
but even then, they'll justify it. They'll rationalize why it didn't work that time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Or they want to advance themselves. And they realize they have to change. It's actually
right.
really difficult to get them to change because
yes.
they just don't really want to.
I've seen insane mental gymnastics for someone to keep believing what they're believing. I really have. Because, seriously, beliefs, no matter what you want to think, your beliefs are not rational. Your beliefs are emotional. Your beliefs are subconscious. But the subconscious mind will and does use the conscious mind, the ego, to justify its beliefs. It will. You know? Again, listen closely. You learn so much just by listening to people. Listen sometimes to someone who, especially when they complain. That's when the beliefs really come out.
Oh, yeah.
Is when
no,
someone
I,
complains.
I,
oh,
I got,
it's a
yeah.
minefield. But listen when someone's complaining or, you know, when someone's just talking, and you will hear the subconscious beliefs. And they will rationalize them, but they will really just be emotional. Beliefs are not rational.
You know when it comes out during the election. No.
Oh, my goodness, I know. Tell me.
Well, I got a friend, and somebody that I listen to, she'll say stuff, and if you can, they're like, you just have some really rough programming. It's,
yeah.
You're going to sell, and it's just like, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, I mean, no, it
yeah.
No, I've
done this with religious people, and I'm not trying to pick on religion in particular, but like religious people who take their scriptures very, very literally.
Oh, this is fine. I do it.
Like, yeah, or like a Christian who believes in like the literal, you know, like let's say creationism.
Or Jehovah's Witness.
Well, yeah, yeah.
No.
And you try to show them scientific evidence that what they believe is wrong. And they will do the most impressive mental gymnastics to get over that issue. You know, fossils were implanted by Satan to tempt the faithful.
You heard that one?
Yes, I have. I
mm-hmm.
absolutely have.
Wait, what was the plan about Satan?
Fossils,
like ancient fossils, like dinosaur fossils from millions of years
ago. I've never heard that one, but I have heard of people who do not believe in dinosaurs.
Or you know, Justin Martyr?
Yeah, the saint.
Yeah, from the second century. He had an apologetics that he wrote that said, all these religions that were similar to Christianity that came before, that predated it, were just created by demons in order to fool other people. And they predated Christianity. So, you know what I mean? Like, just crazy. I mean, just absolutely weird things that I've seen. You know, it's... But this goes for any kind of belief. If someone believes... You know, I've seen people who believe that basically hours worked equals money. You know what I mean? Even though there are plenty of wealthy people who work very few hours and get very much money.
A lot of people that believe that. They don't even know they believe that. They believe.
Right, right. Oh, I just have to get more hours. Right? Oh, no.
Right? No, so, because 18 people beside you are doing the same thing. So why are you any different than they are?
Exactly. It's insane the skills you can get paid for. You know, we were just talking about Christine's aunt, do you mind if I mention?
No.
There's something called Amazon Mechanical Turk, and it's a site from Amazon that pays workers to do just these random small tasks.
For like a nickel.
You get paid like cents, you know, per task, and it's not much, but each one doesn't take very long, so you do so many a day, and you make so much money, and... You know, there are tons of ways of making money and, you know, skills, or even consulting is a wonderfully lucrative field,
oh, yeah.
Consulting of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching, obviously. You know, anything like that. So hours worked, that's another very popular one. Or you hear people who say, you know, the economy is bad, so you can't find a good job, or just tons of... Or relationship beliefs. I've heard people say anyone who is attractive and single is going to be not a very nice person. Like, you can't have nice and, you know, and attractive and single all at the same. I've heard that said by people, you know, and so they attract those sorts of people, right? So I've heard all sorts of different beliefs about different areas of life that... obviously aren't necessarily true, but it is, you create your own beliefs, you know, so, but your beliefs are emotional, they're absolutely emotional, they're not rational at all. You will come up with rational arguments, but they are emotionally based.
Yep.
So it's really interesting to see that happen when...
mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. I'm just writing down these points. All right.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So other thoughts? We have a little while left, obviously, but what other thoughts or questions you guys have?
We have to examine our own beliefs very carefully then, as more spiritually involved and evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Our beliefs can really, you know, hit us in the side of the head by accident, not realizing that it hangs over from a long time ago, maybe.
Right.
And we have to really make sure that we're, you know, together on what we believe, and that the beliefs make sense and are aligned with the subconscious,
aligned.
Right?
Define aligned with the subconscious.
What?
Define aligned with the subconscious.
Well, that our beliefs are, that the subconscious can, the subconscious is just going to give us, I mean, if we believe in something, have a very strong belief about something, whether it's negative or positive,
mm-hmm.
the subconscious is going to
make it true.
Just basically, that's what it's going to give us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have, when we talk about vibration, we talk about belief, we talk about, belief is to me a little tricky because we have to really think, do we really believe this? You know, I mean, is it really are we just kind of mouthing it and saying, oh, I believe blah, 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 blah?
Your emotions will tell you that.
Emotion will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't... Go ahead, Justin.
No, go ahead, Brandon.
No, I'm done.
No, I was asking because Justin was starting to speak.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to overthink it.
I don't encourage, you know, replacing necessarily one belief with another. That is possible. What I want you to do, what I really tried to get you to do, is to be that which is beyond all beliefs. You know, when you step into the true self that you are, into your higher self, then you're going to be beyond all beliefs, and you can choose to believe whatever you want to believe.
Right.
And you can focus wherever you want to focus, and it's just there. So don't, you know, it's like going back to the lucid dream analogy. It's like discovering you're lucid and then creating another dream and then believing in that dream. Well, then now you've lost your free will again. Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to keep your lucidity. Because any kind of belief is going to hem you in eventually. Even if it's a little freer than another belief, it's still going to hem you in eventually. Because you are beyond all beliefs. So, if you... And that's why I say, don't believe your thoughts. You know? When your thoughts come up... Because your thoughts are proof of your emotions. How can I say it? Your thoughts are manifestations of your emotions. Right? So when you have a thought that comes up, you don't believe it. Just don't believe it. Now, if it's a positive thought, then, you know, kind of put some more emphasis on that and give it some focus. But you still don't want to identify with it. You don't want to become it.
Right.
But just kind of give it some more focus. You know, give it an emotional reaction. Feel good about that. But, you know, you have to, and this is, again, and I think in the blog post they said about not reacting emotionally.
Well, are you talking about a little detachment?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about not reacting emotionally to whatever happens.
Oh, right.
You know, when you react emotionally, you're giving reality to whatever it is that happened, more reality. So you want to stand separate and apart and, you know, step into the emotions that you want to have, but you're still sort of, there's still a part of you that's like, I know that this is just another emotion. It's you know, I'm just choosing to put more focus here so I can create more of it. But you have to stand apart from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you want to do is take your emotion, especially, just enjoy the emotion or whatever. Let the emotion do its thing. Feel its energy. Let it go through its entire progression and then release it and let it go. Just accept it and let it go.
Right.
So the beliefs that you want are, you'll be beyond beliefs. But all you really want is whatever is going to be help you get that manifestation is the set of beliefs you want at that time. And once you've got the manifestation, I mean, you know, you don't need the beliefs anymore. I mean, you can keep them and use them, but I mean, you just want thoughts and emotions that come to help you get your manifestation.
Right. You want to use all this as a tool.
That's all it is.
Right. You want to be a tool.
Have you lucid dreamed, Brandon or Justin or?
I did the dream once. I did once.
I've never done that. I don't think.
And what is the purpose of it?
Sort of. But yeah, I've done it. I've actually imposed my will on dreams before.
Sure.
Between sleeping and waking.
Why do you think there's a purpose, Fran?
I'm wondering, I just haven't heard a lot about it. I just have started and recently.
Oh, there's no purpose.
It's for fun.
It's kind of like I'm not a dream expert, but if you choose to use dreams, sometimes you can, especially if you dream about a situation that happened before or something like that, or that may happen later, because I know I've had dreams that, like, I was dreaming of the future, and then that future event happened.
Right.
It was
right.
Like, kind of like,
sure.
Being, it's like deja vu.
Right.
I mean, but it's, you can change your reality through dreams. It's not
sure.
My favorite way to
so
do it.
So you mean you're manipulating your dreams?
You can, yes. It's not my favorite way to do it. I'm not a dream expert. Some people really, really get into that. I look for symbols and signs and ask my higher self to help me use it, but I don't
right.
stress out over it if it doesn't.
Right.
But I can usually interpret my own dreams, especially if I ask right away. What is that?
Sure.
Okay. You know, so mine are usually just sort of signposts for me.
Yeah.
Some people really get into dream stuff. I just never have.
I don't either.
Yeah, I
get frustrated because a lot of my dreams are just right below the surface, and
right.
I can't catch them before I become awake, but I know they were important. Some of them do last a little longer. I think they can be really helpful.
Right.
Right?
I think it depends. It depends.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, I've never gotten anything important from dreams. I mean, they can be, but I don't think they necessarily are.
Oh, I have got some very important stuff in dreams.
Yeah.
But you'll get it in whatever way you're supposed to. Like, dreams are
right,
not the
exactly.
be-all
yeah.
end all.
If the universe wants to express something to you, it'll
It will,
come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can, if you really want, the universe will give it to you the best way that you can
right.
receive it.
Yeah.
So
right.
if it's through dreams, then it will. I'll tell you that I had a dream. Everybody was trying to get me to go back to the place that I used to work. And I had a dream. I had dreams several nights in a row where I was back there and was shot in the head.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like, through the head. And then it was, once I was running away, it was shot in the back of the head.
Oh.
So I knew, do not do this.
Right.
I
yeah.
knew. If you do it, you listen to these fools if you want to, it will not turn out well if you go back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you had a vivid...
yeah.
That's probably your own intuition, your own knowingness.
Sure.
Maybe
well, that's,
telling
that's
you.
Fine. But it was also in a dream, too, and so I made sure I did not return.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably a metaphor. You probably wouldn't have literally gotten shot in the head. Or maybe.
Yeah.
But
no, it was a metaphor.
Probably a metaphor.
But it was a metaphor, a death
a
away.
One.
Yeah, I mean.
Right, right.
Not
well,
like
remember?
Not like a straight up shot in the head. Just
right, right.
You know, what it felt like also was treachery.
Right,
stab in
yeah.
the back, stuff like that. I mean.
Right.
I mean, sure, maybe it could have happened for real, but I mean, it felt like it was.
A little more metaphor.
That
yeah.
kind of shot someone, stabbed you in the back. They got you in position, stuff like that. No, that doesn't
right.
what it was. So
okay,
I knew better.
Well, that happened to you. You and I hope you don't mind, but when you were going to tell me.
Oh yeah, I know. I was thinking about that.
About leaving the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And was it before or after you told me?
It was
before. You dreamed about was it you killed someone at
yep.
Franciscan at the college that we went to.
Yep.
You killed someone in the library.
Yeah. I know.
Brandon, really?
Yeah, really.
Totally emotionless. Like, there are no emotions associated with
it. Oh, good. He's a sociopath.
Yeah, I've done that.
It's totally cold.
I've done
that makes
like,
sense.
Thanks. It was totally cold. It was like, just.
But the point was, like, he had to tell us to me about it and didn't. And he was afraid to, you know, and wasn't.
Like, I was. I have a good friend who's a really good dream interpreter, and what she told me basically, because don't say the name.
No, I know.
You're about to.
No, I was going to say it was the person
yeah.
that, yeah.
But anyway, she said, which part of yourself are you killing off by your actions? I said, and I immediately knew. I was repressing that part of myself with Christine and not letting it out, and so I was killing it.
It becomes very psychological, yeah.
Oh, dreams are extremely
yeah,
psychological.
Are.
Yeah. So, you know, it can be very interesting. That doesn't happen to me often, but sometimes if I'm going through some kind of trauma or some kind of stress, you know, it can give a message or it can show what I'm doing psychologically or something. You know, it just depends.
And sometimes I've asked for signs or directions in dreams, and I've gotten it. You know, after a few nights, you'll get it. So I do that.
Yeah, sure. Again, the universe will choose the way that's going to work best for you. If you get a sign, you're going to get it. You can't miss it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I get questions all the time. I got a chat request yesterday asking, this and this and this happened. Was that a sign?
You didn't tell me about this.
No, I didn't. And it's always hard to answer because it's very individual. It's very subjective, but you know, the universe is always going to find an important way to show you the signs that you need to receive.
Oh, you didn't tell me about that one.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you don't tell me everything.
Nope. So,
that's cool, though.
Yeah, it's always going to choose the best way to communicate with you. I mean, for me, it's not really dreams, so it doesn't really choose that method. For me, it's either direct knowing, or someone talking to me, or something I read on the internet, or those are usually the most popular methods for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it will definitely, you know, it knows how to get to you. It's not going to be hard.
Yeah.
You don't have to go looking for it and, you know, trying to imagine every little thing. Oh, was that a sign? Was that a sign? Was that a sign? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah, with me, I have a number that kind of sticks with me, really, that's been with me for a while. It's
right.
Either 222 or 1222.
Hmm.
And I'd say in the last week, I've seen it, I don't know, more than a dozen times.
Whoa.
Wow. My thing, yeah.
It seemed like every time I saw a counter on something, like on a game, or if I was looking at a timer or something. Sunday I saw it while we were in the class.
Yeah.
And when Manny sent me money, the receipt number was 1222.
Oh, wow.
So I've been seeing it a lot. Today I've seen it like 6 times.
Wow. My thing is, any kind of repeating number, it's been with me forever, that anytime I'm going through a transition, is that fan bothering the microphone, by the way? I'm just warm. Do you hear the, I don't know if you hear the fan or it's bothering the microphone. All right. Anytime I'm going through a transition or that the universe wants to tell me I'm on the right path, I get repeating numbers everywhere. And they've been acting up lately. I've been getting them everywhere. And multiple, maybe 3 times a day sometimes I'll get repeating numbers. Yeah, I believe I did.
Mine is 444. I see 444.
I just got that recent. I just got that today, I think. One time, it was creepy, because usually it's the time. That's okay, but I was listening to, I don't know, something in iTunes. I don't know if it was a song or, audio recording. I don't remember what it was. But I looked at the time remaining, and it was 11:11 on the dot, 11:11. I was like, whew. That's nuts. So stuff like that happens to me all the time. But I've always, you know, I've taken that as you're on the right path, stuff is going on, you're transitioning to something new, you know, you're having an upgrade, so to speak, but things are on the right path. So that's how I always take that. It's astonishing. And it always kind of upsets you. I've heard of, like, atheists, especially, who will say it's confirmation bias. Ever hear that? It's confirmation bias. Do you know what confirmation bias is?
No.
It's
where
when
you're kind of like looking for
it's
it.
When you are looking for it and you find it because it's what you want.
Because you're looking
you
for it.
Want it to be correct,
it's like,
so it is. Well,
it's like when you get a new, like, obviously I never had the experience because I don't have a car, but I've heard from enough people, when you get a new car and then all of a sudden it seems like everyone around you is driving the same car, they were always, but it's just you didn't notice it until you had that filter.
See, I don't believe that.
No, but that's true. That's scientific.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's scientific.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's called the reticular activating system, RAS, I think, in your brain.
You're lined up with that energy.
And
oh, okay, yeah.
No, but it's a physical thing. It's a a brain thing. It's not just law of attraction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's a brain thing
too.
That when you know...
Well, just prove that all the way exists to me.
Sort of, but I think there's a physical way and there's a spiritual way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. But when you get, you know, like a new thing, you're
going
to see everyone with that thing all of a sudden because now you're looking for it. But anyway, that's confirmation bias, clearly. But I know that, like, the repeating numbers, it's not confirmation bias because, first of all, you know, I don't have, like, a peripheral vision that I can look up and notice it. And then really, like, I can't do that because, you know, I have to listen to it. Second of all, the number of occasions, the number of, you know, times it happens a day goes up significantly when I'm in this kind of phase. Like, it'll go from 0 or 1 at the most to, like, 4 or 5, 6 times a day. That's not confirmation bias. That is clear signs. You know what
and
I mean?
And it usually used to happen when you change religions.
Yeah, that happened a lot. I'm kind of going through a transition.
But you didn't know you were.
When I was in school, I got 4-4-4 for years, the last 3 years, since when I was on the right path. I even changed it back to ESPN, and I heard, and he hit a 444-foot home run.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
But
okay.
With me,
determined to show me that.
Yeah. With me, it was always a good sign. And then for a few years, like, I'll give you an example. I'll have, like, I'll feel really good about buying a lottery ticket or something, mm-hmm. you know? And then the next thing you know, it either the ticket will have a number 222 on it or a 222 will show up and it doesn't win, you know? So for me, it was always, recently, it's always been backwards.
Huh.
But
that's interesting.
Yeah. But now, I don't know, because I've been seeing it so much, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on with that, so.
Right.
I've heard that in the angelic realm, that they go by recurring numbers, and the numbers have meanings.
I do not believe that. I don't believe that. I've heard that too from Doreen Virtue, and I don't believe it at all because
what is this? That
certain like 111 or 222 or 333 have different meanings to them, and I've read the meanings. They're all sort of hokey to me. No offense, but I don't believe it because I've gotten all sorts of different repeating numbers, and it's never been any different situations. It's always just been kind of a sign of hey, things are okay. It's never been, you know, a specific thing per number. There's never been any difference. You know, I'm a close observer of reality and of what happens. I don't really believe that they have, like, if it has meaning to you, then yes, but there's no, like, universal, like, well, 555 means blank.
Right.
I mean, she uses the angels, so, I mean, if that's her path, she'll teach you the numbers that way, and if that links it with your spirit, then use it. And that can be a message from your angel guides or your spiritual guides, but you don't necessarily have to, like, use that method because, you know, honestly, all I saw was 444. When I read that meeting, it just said, oh, that means you're on the right path. And you know what? What do you know? I got a job. So I wasn't
right
there. So, you know, but I mean, that's not something, when I ask for a sign from the universe, I don't really look for numbers. I mean, if it comes and it feels like I
never
look
get
it up,
numbers.
I might. But that isn't something I don't
look
for numbers on.
Right, you don't go looking for it. It just happens.
Yeah, I don't study numerology like that, but I know what 7 means and 9 means. And
oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you. It just helps a little bit. It's like it's like a extra, you know, correlation, but I don't go, man, 557, what does that mean? I don't run around and look it up.
Right. And as always, you give it the meaning that it has for you. You know what I mean? So the universe is always going to use your subjective meaning. It's never going to. It's like the reason I discount the repeating numbers thing, like specific ones having specific messages. I guarantee you, there are no specific, like, universal guidelines of what means what. It's all subjective. It's all personal. Like, it's what means it to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like those dream dictionaries that try to say, this symbol means this, and that symbol, but it doesn't. It's all based on your personal symbolism, and you can't go by that. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. It's all very, very personal. Now, if you happen to have a belief in that, then it will use that because you have a belief in it. But it's not because belief in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how I see it.
You know, I mean, it's everybody kind of different. Because they do have their own energy. So if you want to use them, you can.
Right.
And that's the thing with these people is everyone has a different filter. Different channelers have different filters. So it's very dangerous to say 444 means blah, 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 because it means that maybe to them.
Well, just okay.
And the other thing I do is when I look up numbers like that, I usually look through, if I look up a meaning of anything, I usually cross-reference it with 7 or 8 or 9 plus websites. I might, you know, when I did crystals, I looked through 50 different websites.
But it still might not.
And then you kind of get the best meeting. But you still don't necessarily have to use it. You know,
right. It's still not like not mean anything. Because, again, it's subjective. Because if you are in China, I guarantee, if you see 444, you're going to be horrified.
Really?
4 is a bad number in China.
Oh.
Yeah.
Four and 7, I think. I think 4 means, it sounds like the word for death. So 4 is a bad omen. Like, I think it's 4 that, like, people won't live on those street numbers, or they won't want that number in their phone numbers. You know, if the universe wants to send a message to someone in China, is it going to use 444? No.
It better not. No.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brandon.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, even if 444 is good, is an actual good cosmic number, if you send it to the Chinese, it's not going to work. So
right.
They have to do something totally different.
And that's what I'm saying, like, it's not a universal global, 333 means that, and 444 means this, and the universe doesn't have that kind of thing. It's just, it's based on the symbolism you set up, what you believe in. If you believe that 4 is a good number, and you get 444, oh, cool. Or if you think repeating numbers are significant, and you get those, it's like, oh, yay. But it's going to use your own symbolism. It's going to use your own thing. Like, to me, 666 is totally neutral. It doesn't mean anything. You know, or if I get that as a repeating number, I might think that's cool. But to someone else, it might be like a horrible, evil omen. You know what I mean? Or
I laugh at it.
Six
carbon, six nitrogen, six oxygen, melanin.
Yeah. Or like, what is that?
That's me. That's okay. I'm not taking this. I'm rejecting it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to run in the other room. My phone. Sorry.
That's all right. But, or like, you know, how some people have, like, the superstition of, like, if a black cat runs in front of you, well, that's going to be a bad thing. So it's only going to hold bad meaning to you when it happens. Right? So it's all about the personal, subjective meaning that you give it. It's not just I used to do tarot. You know what tarot is, right? Everyone?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I really like the tarot, okay? And I have occasionally done them.
Occasionally
and, a lot. Yeah, well, a lot, but I don't right now. But anyway, you know, the tarot, and I've seen enough of this where I know it's true, that the universe would use the meaning that you personally give the cards. Of course, there are, you know, meanings that are published and meanings based on the card, you know, the deck that you have and the imagery it has. But I've seen different readers have totally different meanings for the same card, and yet their readings are totally accurate because the universe will communicate them with them, you know, card in a way that's significant to them. You know, so for one person, like the death card might hold one meaning. Like I've seen it mean very bad things like destruction and the end of something. Other people, it's more transformation and it's more like a spiritual card. So when it comes up, it's going to mean whatever it means to that person for that person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Where astrology is the same thing, you know, where it's different meanings depending on if you're Western or sidereal or whatever kind of astrological system you use. It's going to have different meanings, but you can always sort of come to similar conclusions just in different ways, right? So there are very few things in the universe that are universally true. It's mostly based on your personal meaning that you give it, which I think is fascinating.
Yes, and then also you'll see that you can get the same card in the same deck, and for the reading number one, it will mean something different. Reading number two, it'll mean something
right.
different. Because
right.
So it's like, just depends on how the universe needs to speak to the individual who's getting the reading,
right.
And how the universe wants to use the person giving the reading.
Right.
Is that associated with psychics too?
Well, sure, yeah.
Getting a reading, a psychic reading.
Yeah.
Right. Every psychic has their own symbols. Like clairvoyants will have certain symbols that mean certain things to them.
And, yeah.
You know, it just depends. It's not a universal system. So it's all based on how it works for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, the universe, like I said, is always going to find a way to communicate with us. It's always going to find a way. But you have to trust that you'll receive the message. You know, 'cause you always will. Absolutely. But I find that...
Well, I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
Say goodnight to everybody.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll be gone in a few minutes anyway. All right. Well, thank you for joining, Fran.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay,
thank
you
for having me.
Have a good night,
Fran. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful night. See you in class.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Right, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So, let's see. We'll have 5 more minutes. So anyway, but yeah, that's a good discussion though. You know, it's I used to kind of question when it came to tarot readings. I've seen such different interpretations for the same cards that I was like, well, how can you possibly have a system of divination when you have such different interpretations? But it's all based on your own system.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm sorry.
I said, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I developed, when I was doing it a lot, I developed my own way of doing it, my own meaning. Not my own meanings, necessarily, but the cards took on their own personalities for me. And, you know, I didn't have the imagery to look at, so I had to kind of go on my own understanding. But it worked. You know, it
you
always worked.
You were always accurate.
Yeah, it worked. That's how divination works. So it's fascinating. For sure. And I know, Justin, you said you've done different sorts of divination, like crystals and stuff.
Yeah, I've used my own just intuition and listened to spirit. That's kind of usually what I do, but I've done crystals. I pull crystals off altars sometimes.
Sure.
And I've done braille cards and
that's fun.
Things like that. Pendulum reading, though I don't like that as much.
Yeah.
I've used, any pendulums, sometimes, anything that moves. I like to just pluck it or either just sense it in spirit.
Right.
I've done a few different types. I've done staring into candles.
Sure.
Really?
Which, you know, yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like
putting you into like an altered state though?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Isn't staring into candles like almost like hypnosis or putting you into an altered state?
Yeah, it's like you open your third eye and you kind of do that and you become one with the flame and you can thread your way through the different colors, or you can like sort of come at it from slightly above. I've even done it so that I've just like phased out all my vision. I have a little bit of vision, but I've done it where I phased out all my vision and couldn't see anything.
Some vision.
No, I didn't know that.
A little bit.
I thought you didn't have any vision, which is why I was confused.
You can still do it, though, without vision.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is connect with the third eye, and the colors will get there. But yeah, there's a certain way that ninjutsu, you can do it in a dark room. You stare at candles in the dark, and it improves your night vision, which for me doesn't matter much. But
yeah.
But like, you know, things like that. So it's so yeah, you just kind of can do stuff like that, kind of thread your way through there. You can, you know, ask for stuff to kind of see what's going on.
Sure, yeah.
It's not my favorite way of doing it, but I've done it, especially after I've like lit candles for something, you know, just stare into the flame.
Right.
I've never tried that. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, it's fascinating how many ways there are for the universe to communicate with us. I mean, it really always is. That's what I said in the post today. It really always is communicating with us through our experiences, through, you know, the good or bad things that happen. Always. It's always, you know, I always feel the intent behind the situation, if you will. You know, when something works out or when something negative happens, it's like, okay, I get the point. You know what I mean? But especially when like a positive thing will happen, it always feels like it was, you know, obviously intended to be that way. It was for me, you know? I don't know how to explain it. But it communicates. It absolutely does communicate. It's really fascinating how that happens. So, are there any other thoughts or questions or comments or anything else?
Mm-mm. No.
No? All right. So that's all that I have. So I appreciate all those who joined today, and we'll see you next week. Well, both of you are in the class. We'll see you this Sunday, hopefully, for the class.
Should be good.
Yeah. And anyway, I hope you have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.